Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes, here.
Was meeting notice posted?
Yes, they were.
And can I have a motion to approve previous minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
I second the motion.
Trustee Kerr.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Samuels.
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill.
Good afternoon, trustees. I'm Alan O'Neill, interim director of physical facilities, former electrician, general foreman. I'll be starting with a few points that cover some of the projects we have going on. One would be the data center power upgrade. That would basically provide more power, more distribution by changing the electrical switchgear in the basement. That will also help with the growth of pharmacy or any future expansion for that building. The data center will also get a UPS system, a backup generator, and the backup generator could also be used to facilitate or to help provide power for the nursing or the virtual hospital that's being proposed. This campus switchgear upgrade, that I am meeting with the with some consultants in replacing our existing switchgear, which has actually met its life expectancy. We are to change, we're to change the switchgear in the A building or education building, business health and science, Harold Washington Hall, Williams Science Center, and Cook Administration Building, and JDC, We're also looking to provide a backup generator for the O&M building, because now if ComEd has a power outage, which they had Sunday actually, it could create major problems. It also, because there's no backup system for that building, and that building facilitates the entire campus. Also, the dispatch for the police department, they would go down also. So it's a safety issue. The CDB elevator project, that includes the elevators in education, BHS, Williams Science Center, Harold Washington Hall, and Cook Administration. The elevator in Cook Administration is around completion. We're waiting on the punch list to be finished, so that should be turned over to us possibly today, right? For the pharmacy labs and the chemistry labs, I would like to let Monique Gordon take.
Hello, trustees. For the record, my name is Monique Horton, Assistant Director of Physical Facilities Planning and Management. I would like to speak from page 2. We have some highlights and bullet points of some of the capital projects, as well as the those that are under the auspice of the CDB, as well as those that are being performed by the university. The first one I'd like to go over is the CDB emergency roof projects for education building and the O&M building. Currently, the education building has been moving forward ahead of schedule, and we propose that the residents would move back into the interior spaces on December the 17th. The roof has been put on, and we are then moving into the next phase of that, which would address the curtain wall system, which the project for that would go through to February 2011. That project is approximately $1.4 million, which includes the abatement. The project for the O&M building, which is about $1.2 million, includes the roof replacement as well as abatement That project, the roof will begin in the spring of 2011, and currently the abatement is ongoing.
Did you tell me those funds were allocated?
Correct. And released. There's a project now also for, that has been granted to us through the CDB, and that project is for Douglas Hall roof and the building envelope. The project is to replace the roof as well as to give a masonry repair and entryway redesign to the entire building. That project, we have been granted $4 million. The first $1 million has come to the university. The first thing that we would like to do would be to do a temporary patch so that the fall thaw would not adversely affect what is currently in the space. The project for the roof would take place in spring 2011, and the completion of the building envelope is scheduled for fall of 2011. For the Douglas Hall College of Pharmacy Research Laboratories, that project is approximately $1.1 million. And we right now are actually have entertained the contractor's bids, and those have come in under that budget. That project is slated to be completed in mid-March of 2011 to accommodate the accreditation site visit. For Douglas Hall, the Nursing and Wellness Center, the nursing lab, which is also known as the virtual hospital, that project right now we are in contract negotiations with the architects and engineers. They have presented to us their contract, and we are negotiating their fees as well as the scope of work. And that project is completed in January of 2012. In the Williams Science Center, the physics and chemistry lab renovation, that project is the renovation of two labs that are currently on campus, 106 and 108. And that project is currently scheduled to be completed in August of 2011 with a substantial completion in May of 2011. That completes the summary for the capital project.
Sounds great, thanks. I'd like to see those scheduled dates look pretty good, finally.
Okay. Do we have any questions?
Any questions?
Yeah, I have no questions.
Was there any update on the metro status?
Yes. So, Doctor.
Good morning, trustees. Chief Watson.
Good morning.
Katea Sim and I from the foundation met with a member of the metro board. We presented him with about 18 pictures that we had took of the site. We took him on a tour of the site. He has agreed with us that he is going to support our efforts to make the metro stop a full stop, to get the whole 95th Street viaduct remodeled. We're trying to, he says that the metro would require for a full stop parking spaces for 400 cars. We have identified the vacant lot and a building, as well as possibly the gas station at 95th and Cottage, as possibly we could go after eminent domain to be able to accommodate that. I think the president has had some conversations with some suburban principals who said that we would guarantee to get more suburban students if that became a full stop. So he is supporting it. We are drafting letters to our legislators, to our city officials, and to every member of the board relative to that, and we'll be able to report back to you what the effort is at the next board meeting. Okay?
That's great. Thanks, Chief. That's encouraging. In the meantime, we still do offer services to pick up students that come from there, right? If they request.
Can they at least fix the steps in the meantime? Because the plan that you just talked about is probably a 2-year plan, but the access right now is just so horrible.
It's horrible. And
is there something they can do to at least make it safe?
Well, we haven't actually met with anyone from Metro other than this board member. That was the initial meeting.
Yeah.
Not only is the steps unsafe, there is a leak in the driveway coming up from Cottage Grove, and that water runs down to 95th Street, and that whole thing becomes an ice sheet. And we're constantly over there with salt trying to make sure that anyone, not just our students, I'm not fall victim to, you know, falling over there. So it is a problem. We want to try and expedite our efforts to get someone from Metro here so they can see this so we can...
I think I talked to Dr. Watson about this. We at least talked to our alderman.
We have.
Our alderman and our...
There was a letter drafted that went out to several officials, making them aware of the actual conditions there that also, you know, they're receiving the photographs as well. So I know that the first initial meeting was to actually talk with the board member, you know, since the property is theirs, and then just awaiting the responses from the other officials. And I know Dr. Watson has also been in contact with them.
All of the respective aldermen, state reps, state senators have been communicated with on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say all of them have been communicated with personally, as well as with a letter to follow up with pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them have given me their commitment.
To do something about it.
Yes. As well as the, when we met with the board member from Metro, he actually, I don't want to say too much, but he took ownership of trying to get this resolved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, President Watson.
We also have a resolution that we would like to present.
Okay, I have a question before you do that.
Sure.
And I don't know if this is the right time to bring it up. But as I read the sign report for constructing a new dorm, potentially, I was concerned by the survey and some of the responses referring to mold and lack of repair in the current dorm. And I just wonder if you would... is this the appropriate time to talk about that? Because it seems to be a concern. If indeed there is mold, that's a health concern.
Is that something you can speak to now, or do you want to address that?
Yes. So previously, we had addressed some mold concerns that were part of the existing carpet. So we have taken up carpet that were in those areas, and we have also remediated some of the mold that was due to the leaking pipe insulation. So those things have been addressed.
Okay, so the insulation has been repaired.
Yes, removed and then replaced.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
I actually did spend time and I saw that.
So. Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Great. Okay. Resolution, Mona.
The resolution is actually a revision to the March 8th previous, which stated the 604 project. That last bullet point was not included in the March resolution, and this resolution is actually the revision to include that bullet point, whereas for the construction project Student Financial Aid Outreach Building, AKA Project 814-010-064, amend the language by deleting for construction of Student Financial Outreach Building and replace with for Americans with Disabilities Act compliance upgrade.
Great, and just for the other trustees, this resolution is really just to have the ability to allocate those funds to other places. Is that a good summary?
That is correct.
Okay. Great, do I have a motion to approve this resolution?
I move to approve the resolution.
Second.
Second the motion.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
One last point of interest is the RUC building currently. So we have some fairly good news, which is that the Capital Development Board has now given us the green light to actually expend some of the funds to actually first, on the first phase, to make the building envelope weather tight. And then we will move into a second phase, which then begins the start of the programming for the interior spaces. So that those funds are in excess of $8 million. And we are actually right now putting out the request for proposals through CDB for the architectural and engineering firms.
We should be aware that during the austere times that the state is presently going through, for us to get these dollars, that we should be very appreciative because a number of universities are not being given capital dollars at this point. So we're very appreciative of the state for releasing this.
That's great. Is there anything else specifically?
No, we just have we know that you have a new arrival.
Oh, not yet, but on the way. Down to the wire here.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Oh, that's nice.
I appreciate it. chair.
Oh, yeah.
Is this pink bag, is this in the...
So on behalf of the fiscal plan, congratulations.
Thanks. Before you get up, I want to commend you on the way you've handled the departure of your former colleague and everybody seeing that stepped in. And, you know, when I first took over as chairman of this committee, all these things, these capital development issues seem so bleak, and it's like we've got light at the end of the tunnel now, and that's great work on your part. And to Mr. O'Neill, welcome to the new post, and know the words you serve, so best of luck there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I second all that, thank you.
Ms. Langford? Ready when you are.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Susan Pease Langford, and I'm certainly pleased to be back here again, Mr. President. You may recall that, I think back in March maybe, I was previously here and talked with you about how campuses fund student housing and other on-campus projects with tax-exempt bonds. And at that time, what I said is that a campus needs an objective basis for moving forward, or even thinking about moving forward with a financing or student housing or any kind of project on campus, an objective basis to say, is this something that we really should be looking at? Is this something we should really consider? So at that time, this body, I believe, asked the president to go forward with a market study. So in order to answer just those types of questions, is this something we should really be looking at, on-campus housing? I think you now have that market study has probably been distributed to you in a green book. It's conducted by a company named Scion, which is, I think it's actually a Chicago-based firm, but they actually do work, I believe, all over. Well, in their study, they came back with some very interesting information, including in that from their work, they believe that the demand for housing on campus falls into two different categories. Housing for your more traditional students, the first year freshmen ready to go forward in 4 to 6 years, gain a college degree, as well as family housing for students that are on your campus who are in fact part of the family unit. So now, that though doesn't tell you enough. And I think they actually identified through their work a need for 330 traditional beds and 108 family housing beds. So their work actually gives you numbers that you can look at and rely on.
And again, that was based on our spring enrollment. Or the spring students took that survey, right?
Right, and it was also based on enrollment projections over a period of time.
Okay, so they look forward.
Right, they look forward and they look back.
Thank you.
Now what that doesn't tell you is the form or the configuration of what kind of housing, if you decide you want to move forward with housing, what kind of apartments or suite style, or it doesn't give you anything about that. And part of what you have to look at for that, of course, is the revenue available. And revenue primarily driven in these situations, although not always solely, by the rents that students are paying for this housing. So what does that all mean? You've done a first really major fundamental foundational step by having this study. And with that as a backdrop, you may now want to empower the president to move forward to convene a group to take this whole process to the next step, to think of this project in real practical terms, because I think that's what we have to really be mindful as you go forward at any stage. You've got to be practical about it. So what does that mean? With on-campus housing come other considerations, and I think maybe we talked a little bit about this then. Those considerations need to be identified and discussed. So this, in essence, becomes almost like a programming process. With on-campus housing, you have to consider things such as, where will students eat? Where will they park? What students do you want to steer to live on campus? Do Do you want to have a residency requirement for new students? What impact is there on security needs on your campus with 24-hour, a larger, I know you have some students on campus now, but an even larger, vibrant, robust student population on campus 24 hours a day? These kind of questions, as well as many other ones, emerged as you consider having on-campus housing and what the project should include. So your study helped to identify what students will pay for, and I think if you look at one example, is that on page 71, there's a range of student rents that the students were given. But anyway, these questions and many others have to really be addressed as you decide to move forward. So your studies help you identify what students will pay for, and combining the fact that you've got a demand, that you've got some range of interest, of price, you have to now figure out what type of student, what type of housing, that configuration that I said this study doesn't give you, what kind of configuration. So to accomplish this, you really need now a new set of professionals. So you had the market study professionals, and they've done their task that you asked them to do, or the president asked them to do. It's now to identify and answer some of these other programming questions, it makes sense to now bring in program planning professionals, because you also want to make sure this is fitting within your master plan as well as answering all these other questions. So you'd want to bring in programming professionals, but you'd also want to bring in bankers at this point, because you have now a sense of the number of rooms, you have a sense of what students would be willing potentially to pay, and you have to combine those two things and say, okay, so what does that mean we can afford? So through your programming process, you would end up with the ideal, as well as, well, if we can't have the ideal, what can we have? And along with your bankers, so you have what, you know, every student wants to have on their campus, and you have what version of that based on what the bankers are telling us, based on the rents that the students will pay, that the study told us, what can we really have? So what does that mean in summary? You are now ideally positioned to move forward to the next step of investigation. Your study has told you that you do have students who, given the right opportunity and the right product, they do want to live on campus. So now you have to determine what is that opportunity and what is that product, and move forward to the next step.
Sounds great. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Trustees, any other questions? I actually had a handful of time to talk to Katea about this, so I'm pretty well-versed.
I have one question. I noticed that they used a couple different models in terms of what they might want to see possibly, but my question is, do any of these models used mirror an inner-city neighborhood like the one we're located in? And does it also mirror the same type of demographic that our students are?
Yes, that's the short answer. What they do as part of the study is to talk directly to our students. They also had focus groups of our students. They talked to people within the community. We identified people outside, off campus, that they needed to talk to, like some of our political leaders in the community and those kinds of people. So they understood the community. The other side of it, as Ms. Langford mentioned, is that this is what they do. So they've been doing this all over the country. And they've actually also done this in Chicago on a couple of projects. So they came in very well versed.
Thank you.
I have a few things that might be questions or might be comments. I agree that there's more study and the need for a master plan. And one of the reasons would be is, what is our long-term goal? What percentage of students do we want to see housed on campus? We serve a population that tend to be housed in other places and take transportation. Therefore, the Metrotrans need to be fixed, you know, that sort of thing. I would say then, what are the costs to having new housing? There's certainly the maintenance cost. So you're not only just going to build it, but you're going to have to maintain it. Indeed, I was concerned in this report that there were some complaints. Admittedly, well, I only read a couple of comments, so I don't know how widespread it is. But apparently it sounded like the buildings were not being maintained, that there were maybe cleanliness issues as well as the mold that I understand has been resolved. So what are those costs? I also heard strongly again in the comments the sense of the need for better security, that students did not feel safe. And I think it is what we've, someone has said here already, the design of the buildings and the location. The buildings right now are kind of in the middle of campus, very isolated, not near a Walgreens or even, I think, any place where you might want to run out and, you know, get something in the middle of the night. So the urban design would be at a street, you know, easily accessible to transportation and sidewalks. And I think that would therefore increase the ability to provide security and to just create the sense of security. So those are actually comments as we move forward. You know, I'm happy that we've done this. I think it's time to do it. I think there's still a lot of questions to be answered. So thank you.
Comments are exactly the kinds of things that will come out in the next phase of inquiry about this. But the other side of it is that some of these things, in fact, will cost money.
Right.
And the cost of that will have to be paid from some source. And that source will have to be either student rents or wherever else we get that from. And so that's why we would need bankers around the table. But we will need, President, we need your permission to go move forward with bringing those kinds of professionals to the table so that once we have a plan of exactly how much it's going to cost to build the buildings, and how much it's going to cost to maintain them, we'll bring that back to you and then before we move forward.
Right, and to secure them. I think those are all those additional costs. Right. And heat and light. Thank you.
All valid points, Trustee Samuels. I would caution though that we use the word cost. It's really an investment.
Yeah.
If you would agree, Kate.
Right.
So
right.
Absolutely.
The cost up front, but it's an investment. You know, to increase all these things. So I just put that out there as a caution. That's all. It's not necessarily just a sunk cost. So.
But I think I assume that this sort of the proposal for growth is part of a long range
right.
strategic plan, mm-hmm. right?
Right. It fits right into the academic programs that we have.
Right.
As we go after students
right.
who have a stronger academic base or stronger academic preparation, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if you look at our bell chart, the bell chart is to the left. And we're going to swing that bell chart just a little bit to the right. So if you go after more students who have 17 and 18, and more students who have 19 and 20, and 21 and 22 on the ACTs,
yeah.
you know, that does not mean we're going to abandon the ones who have 15 and 16, but we want to get a more integrated and diverse academically prepared student body.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Right.
So it's going to be a different kind of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
When we do that, we go after the top tier students, we have to be prepared to compete and be able to give them a place to stay.
Okay.
We must be. Other than that, then we cannot, you know, we're not going to be competitive in the market.
So, Dr. Watkins, what do you see as a timeline here? Potential, a timeline.
You know, this is one of those things that, you know, I would hope we could be in the ground within a year and a half from now. This is not that complicated. It really isn't.
And it's about 18 months, you say, once you get started.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
You know, if we're in 18 months, you know, right. we're running it in 3 years, so average.
Right. The difficult part is to begin. So with the president's okay, you know, what he said to me is, if this is what the board wants done, full speed ahead, get with it. 100% of your time is dedicated to this. So. We'll bring all the professionals on board, we'll get everything done, and You'll get to see the designs of the building, you'll get to see the pro forma proof that shows what the cost is, how much we're gonna get, what it's gonna, what's the investment and all of that. You'll get to see all of that, but we have to move on a fast track.
We can cut the ribbon.
So what?
We can be there to cut the ribbon.
Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am.
But I, my other concern is that when I say timeline, I think it, you don't wanna just plop down a building someplace. You wanna have a sense of what should be happening on the campus.
Yes.
Again, considering the things I mentioned before about security and access to resources. So if indeed we wanna build 6 buildings in 10 years, where would that be accommodated on campus? So a plan for the campus development, I think, is critical.
Trustee Samuels, that's why in the things that I suggested, that kind of our next steps, you see, you didn't hear me say anything about a general contractor or design build firm.
True.
Because you have to get to that.
Yes.
Exactly what you're saying, because you want your housing to be successful.
Yeah.
And all those things that you're identifying, if you don't deal with those things upfront, then it's not gonna be successful.
That's right. And indeed, there are gonna be competing interests for what should be built on the campus. I have that impression. I've heard things like a law school. I don't know. But, you know, those are the things that some, it's time to be bringing that all out, because this is an important recommendation. Thank you.
Mr. Sims, is there an ask of you?
Is that an ask of me?
Yes.
I would love to hear that all of my trustees are gonna put in $1 million to this.
I like.
If I get a percentage.
I like lofty, but I prefer a
realistic zero.
So, what is that realistic ask?
Not Northwest.
Well, the realistic ask, trustees of mayor, is to empower the president to appoint a group of people to support and to work to get this done. I will comment, however, on this, that building student housing calls for great cooperation between the entire university family. For example, when we start talking about funding, what kind of mechanisms do we need to put in place for the funding structure? And that will call for cooperation on both boards. And here now I'm talking about the Board of Trustees and the Foundation Board. The President has made this presentation to the Foundation Board, and the Foundation Board is excited to be a part of this. And so it's gonna call for that kind of cooperation. There will be other kinds of cooperation campus-wide between the deans, the academic side of the house, and the administrative side of the house. So the ask is to empower the president to move forward.
Excellent. Thank you. There's a, Dr. Williams, there's no resolution on that.
No.
Correct. Okay. I mean, you've got my full support. You know that already. I thought this was much more informative for the other trustees. So if everybody's in agreement. And I don't know, Dr. Watson, if you just want to say a word or two about that. Because we will give you the authority to do that at some point, so I want to understand where you are on that as well.
I mean, this has to be a concept that I totally support, because it's a concept that I brought forward. It's one that, if we're going to move into the second decade of the 21st century and be competitive academically, we have no option here, okay? We have a doctoral program in pharmacy. We're bringing students from throughout the world to Chicago State. They need a place to stay, all right? We have our doctoral program in education is starting to reach out beyond Chicago. So as we grow and strengthen our academic programs, we're gonna diversify the student base that we have. Okay, right now, I think 60% of our students come within a very close zip code around Chicago State. As we strengthen ourselves, and our operative word is strengthen ourselves, because we are strong, but as we enhance that, we have to be prepared to give these individuals a safe quarter, all right? And now there's another reality here. We are located inside of a place called Chicago. And the south side of Chicago right now, in the area that we're living, has one of the highest mortality rates, homicide rates. We cannot just tell our students like they do at the University of Chicago and Northwestern and et cetera, oh, go in the community, Loyola University. You can live in the community around the university. We must provide for our students on campus. So this is something that I strongly recommend to the board, that we go forward, because it's going to strengthen our academic position and increase our retention and graduation rate.
Thanks, President. Thanks, Ms. Lang. That's great information. Are there any public comments, employee comments? If not, I move that we adjourn.
I second that motion.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Kerr?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.